If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar message is to the ground crew of the Celestial Emissaries from the Ashtar Command. And we're going to be speaking tonight about the Earth changes, the polar shift, and how to face what's coming up upon the planet, what we could expect to occur, how we work interdimensionally with you, and what will assist you in psychologically and spiritually psyching up to the events that stand in our immediate future. So it's going to be a very impactful and powerful show. I have lots of information to share. So let's start with an integration, and we'll do that with taking a deep breath. And relax. And call yourself forward as the divine, birthless and deathless continuum of divine consciousness that has been poured into the chrysalis of this third dimensional dream field, to awaken it to the light, to insert the highest divine harmonics and resonances into this density that we call a carbon-based densest compression of light, or the material third-dimensional world. You are here for a purpose, a very specific divine purpose. Never lose sight of that. Your coming at this time is not by accident, nor is it at random, but it is extremely proactively purposeful. And as you intend just now, take another deep breath and connect consciously with your divine upline. This would include your spiritual levels and your lineages, including those of us who work with you from the Ashtar Command. Deep breath. Integrate, connect, align. Infuse your consciousness, your brain, your neurological system, your entire circuitry. Fire it with the divine white fire of divine consciousness. Infuse your whole instrument with awareness. Activate and quicken those codes of light. Take another deep breath. Fire the grids of your own personal energy field, connecting very consciously and on purpose with the highest Christ consciousness grid that you can possibly tuck into. Now enter your sacred heart shrine. You can do it. It's very simple. Take a deep breath and ride into the sacred shrine of your heart. You may see an intense violet light as you do that. That is the energy of the love of the beloved. You will find the beloved waiting for you in your heart shrine. Allow the beloved to come towards you and embrace you. Allow your heart to merge with the sacred heart of the beloved until you beat with one heartbeat and you breathe with one breath. Now, walk into the beloved and merge completely. Put on the beloved. That is the truth. That is your safe harbor. That is where you go for your information and your direction. That is where you go for your teaching. And you needn't leave, because everything that you ever need to access is found therein. That is the very doorway into the kingdom of God and into the divine throne realms of the highest imperishable star realms. There have been many of our emissaries that have come directly from other planets to this world. And I think one of the most outstanding of our visitors has not even been spoken of. I wonder why they do not speak ever about Commander Valiant Thor. It's very interesting, because these old guys from the Pentagon and the military that are now finally spilling the beans as they, you know, are in their 80s and getting ready to leave this world, they never speak of Commander Valiant Thor. So it must be a very embarrassing point for the Pentagon, in light of where we stand today, to see what was refused when this great soul landed. I believe in Arlington, Virginia, which is just across the bridge from Washington, D.C. And he came in 1957, a Venusian immortalized ascended master who says that he comes from the interior of the planet Venus, because all planets that we can see in the outer sky have an inner core that is inhabited, as well as other dimensions. There are many dimensions on the in the inner Earth, as well as the auric field surrounding the various planets. When he landed, he was escorted by two people that I personally know, and one of them is the nephew of Commander Admiral Byrd, Harley Byrd. And according to the reports and the story that Dr. Frank Stranges tells in his book, Stranger at the Pentagon, he was housed in an apartment in the Pentagon for 3 years. That he didn't have any fingerprints, because he said that fingerprints are a sign of the fall, and he is a non-fallen being. The fall, meaning coming into the belief of separation in God, separation from God, and the fear-based picture of reality that we assume is the real world, but is in fact an illusion of the world, and this would be the three-dimensional world that we think we live in when we wake up in the morning. Anyway, they were very, very interested in taking a blowtorch to his garment, which he opened and closed with a wave of his hand. Nothing could destroy it. A blowtorch, a diamond drill, nothing. They were very interested in taking x-rays of his body and seeing that he was a normal human being, at least normal in terms of his physical attributes, which shouldn't surprise us because we're descended from the planets in our solar system, all people on planet Earth. So, of course, people on other planets in our solar system are going to look just like us in terms of the physiological, you know, attributes. Now, during this time, he met with President Eisenhower and Nixon. And listen to what he offered them. He offered the President of the United States a successful way of life that would enable humanity to live free of poverty, free of sickness, free of disease, and free of death. However, the offer was declined by the president, President Eisenhower, who said that such a plan would, get this, disrupt the economy of this nation. Can you believe that we would be in the situation we are today with the decline of the global economy, the domino effects of the gradual collapse of everything that we have based our 3D lives upon? Simply because we sold out back in 1957 to the god of Mammon, basically, the god of Mammon, instead of God's higher plan for Earth. So Commander Valiant Thor, after 3 years and many meetings and going and coming and doing all he possibly could to awaken, to meet with people, to see what he could do to bring some form of unity and consensus for a higher approach on our planet, in 1960, March 16th, he returned to his ship and left. Now, Commander Valiant Thor has been in ongoing communication throughout the years with Dr. Frank Stranges, who was, he recently left his body. He was a Christian evangelist who also was a very dear personal friend of Commander Valiant Thor. And when he met Val, Commander Val, he was a person who went about speaking about the biblical celestials that interacted with early humanity, that these were all space beings who came in ships, that Ezekiel's wheels within wheels were speaking of spacecraft. He had extraterrestrial experiences. Enoch was taken up in a flaming chariot, which is a flaming Merkaba, a spaceship. And the goings and comings, the constant beamings up that occurred throughout the Bible stories, the transpositioning in time and space that occurred to Philip the Apostle, and that occurred to Enoch, who was caught up and walked with God and knew not death. And, of course, Elijah was taken up in the flaming chariot. Chariot in Hebrew is called Merkaba. So these counter-rotational wheels within wheels of light were spacecraft in the Bible. And the Bible is a whole extraterrestrial textbook, which according to a recent book, that, well, not too recent, about a 10-year-old book written on the Bible code, the Bible was actually given by an extraterrestrial. And says so in the Bible codes. So we have kind of dismissed the Bible in many cases because of the stilted language, which doesn't quite meet us where we find ourselves today with a space and a scientific understanding of a quantum universe. And a religious paradigm out of which we have been taught to think of life off planet. So we're in the needing of, in the necessity of marrying these worlds as we have done and as we do on other planets. There's no division between spirituality, consciousness, space, and religion in the higher worlds. There is no such thing as a separation between these different dialectics and understandings. They're merged under an understanding of the divine light and sound of God, which has caused everything to be materialized as it is. In other words, the living word, which is the sound, and the living light, which is God, as the Creator, as the pure light of consciousness and life itself. So Commander Valiant Thor with a group of around 25 people, lived and may still be there. Last time I drove to that area, I had contact with Commander Valiant Thor, as I often do, and his ship was parked under a cloaking device near Lake Mead, the Hoover Dam area. And he had a group of 25 Venusians who were teaching classes for people who would come in their soul bodies at night while their physical forms slept. And they were taught about the fall that had occurred upon planet Earth and about the most radiant one, Jesus the Christ, who came to bridge consciousness back into the higher worlds that had been separated and barred through the fall and were quarantined from direct access to the imperishable divine realms of the Most High God. So he actually had people coming and taking classes aboard ship in salvation, the plan of salvation for planet Earth. Because as I've often spoken, this planet was in need of restoration from a divine plan from which it had fallen and separated, not in truth, but in belief, consciousness, and densification, so that the consciousness was entrapped in this dream field, which I often refer to as the ego's nightmare. It's not real, but it sure seems real. It's not going to go on much longer, but it seems like it has endless ramifications. I think all of us are very saddened to see oil-drenched birds and the thought of oil-drenched dolphins and whales. We don't see them, but we're told they're there. And I know our hearts are breaking with these images that we see, and I understand they are prettified, beautified, cosmetically treated, not to really show us how awful it actually in fact is in the Gulf of Mexico. And many people have contacted me in great despair, you know, really like, my gosh, what's happening to our world? What's going to happen? And many starseed are disheartened and depressed. And so our show tonight is going to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and we're going to face the devil, so to speak, of this fear-based reality. And we're going to look at it in terms of the grid shift and the consciousness shift and what exactly is being said, what is not being said, and what I can say tonight that hopefully will strengthen you and give you greater joy in your heart and security and peace of mind. Before I do that, let me share some of the things that are basically being said by the indigenous elders and people who I look to as the custodians and guardians of the planet Earth, and those who have actually been here during the last polar realignment and consciousness shift, which was 12,000 years ago. And that occurred, of course, during the Lemurian root race. So some of the following sources have spoken about a physical polar shift that was to occur. One very excellent book that I read back in the 80s was Mary's Message to the World by Annie Kirkwood. And I found the book highly accurate. And everything that she said would happen has happened, except for one thing that she said would definitely happen, and that would be a physical pole shift. Young children that I spoke about three shows back, between the ages of 1 and 6, were telling prophetically all the earth changes that we're going through, including a polar shift and the coming of spaceships to take people off the planet. These are from very young children. I think it was a 3-year-old that mentioned that his planet was coming and that it was a red planet that was hiding or being hidden by the sun, but that soon it would become visible and you would be able to see it. So these are very, very young children before, you know, school has gotten a hold of them and they've been heavily conditioned through religion or whatever. And they were speaking of their people coming. In fact, this little boy would say at night, he said, I have to go check out my population. And the family never ever used the word population. And here this little boy is saying, my population, that I have to go check on it. And he would go to sleep, and then in the morning he'd wake up and say, you know, talk about his population on his planet and how he was looking forward to them coming. And, you know, this is very interesting. We have to listen to our young children and not patronize them, because many of them are young celestial emissaries. Many of them are master souls, Christed souls, and they're here to be the way showers. You know, it says in the Bible, a little child shall lead us. A little child shall lead us into the kingdom of heaven. So these young prophets, pay attention to them and try not to condition them with your belief systems. Try to allow them to awaken to the knowing that they come in with. Ruth Montgomery also back in the 80s spoke of walk-ins and aliens among us and the polar shift. Sai Baba said there's going to be a polar shift, and the native elders say there's going to be a polar shift. Now, I will tell you this. This is the good news, and hear me well. You will not be left in this dimension if and when the polar shift occurs. I repeat, you will not be left in this dimension if and when a polar shift occurs. Get it? You will not be in this dimension. Nor need you be concerned about it at all. Having said that, I'm going to go into some details about what you can expect, more or less, giving you some idea, so that when people around you are frightened or concerned, you can at least have some information to share with them. My friend Drunvalo said that he was not worried about the oil spill, as this potential of the polar shift looms so much larger. I thought that was interesting. I always listen to what Drunvalo has to say, because this is a man, truly a man, who has learned how to live from the heart and is a great, great elder and a great man, in my opinion. So apparently the indigenous elders said that a shift was to have occurred this May, between the 15th and the 10th and the 15th. Now, it didn't occur, which shows you that many, many factors prevent absolute pinpointing of exactitudes. Even though we have a very accurate Mayan calendar, we're kind of in a very unique situation here. Number one, we have a full avatar by the name of Sri Satya Sai Baba, living on the planet. And he has said that, and bear in mind, only someone who is living in a physical body on the planet has authority to act on behalf of the planet. We can't do that from the Ashtar Command, because we, except for myself, you know, I'm a walk-in integration into this body, so I can do many things. But Ashtar, for example, who is off-planet, cannot intervene directly on behalf of humanity except where the karmic board and the hierarchy of the planet permits us and the command to interact directly, which we do have authority. We can, for example, stop any nuclear exchange that would jeopardize the planet as a whole. We have absolute authority to, and we've done this. We've done this already 3-4 times, where we have actually caused the firing, triggering system for atomic weaponry to fail. We have done that, and we will do it again. We will not permit a global destruction through atomic warfare. That we have a complete jurisdiction to intervene. So, where was I? Yes, back to the indigenous elders. I spoke some time back about the information that was given Drundalo by the Guatemalan, 144 Guatemalan Council of Elders. And they spoke of 30 hours of where we would be in darkness, and during that time we would shift into immortal bodies of light and into the new earth, into the new grid and the new earth. Other information has come through that speaks of anything from 30 hours to an hour, to a day and a half, to up to even as long as 4 possible days of darkness. Now, as I said before, you will not be on Earth when this happens. I spoke to Ashtar quite a while back on this because I was very concerned. I said, Ashtar, people get really, really disturbed psychologically and freaked out moving across town or to another country or, you know, how can even our own people go through something as dramatic as a polar shift or a grid shift or even being beamed up into a spaceship? We found our people were even afraid of that. I've spoken to Christians who are worried about the rapture because they have a fear of heights. And the thought of being whisked up out of their car or their, wherever they are, up into the air scares the heck out of them. So we have this this kind of mentality that doesn't like change. And Ashtar said that they had considered that and realized that even the smallest alteration in the picture of reality that the average human being has, whether or not they're a starseed, doesn't seem to matter, is going to be injurious to their psychological health. So this is the plan. The consciousness is going to be put in a state of suspended animation, i.e., like a state of sleep, like in Sleeping Beauty, and it's going to be wrapped in a cocoon, he used the word cocoon, of your accustomed picture of reality. This would be your warm, fuzzy scenario, your best case scenario, that for you is an acceptable reality that you feel comfortable in and happy within, okay? You will be transposed in that picture of reality and given a period of time to integrate and adjust very slowly and gradually to, and get this, Ashtar describes it as a kinder, gentler version of the earth. So that's what's going to happen. And I believe this pretty much is for everyone. I don't think anyone's going to be left behind in this. I can say with absolute certainty that none of our ground crew are going to go through the earth changes. We have so many ways to shift the reality that are completely beyond the average comprehension of the human brain, okay? Having said that, I told you that some years back when my fellow commander, Solario St. Mary Michael and I were driving across the desert, and it was pitch dark, and we were coming over an overpass directly into a jackknifed, overturned tractor trailer, pitch dark in the middle of the desert. We were on top of that sucker before we even saw it was there. Solario, who was driving and is a tremendously integrated and composed commander, said, "We're going to be all right." I was out of my body. I slammed back into my body. I said, "Om Shri Sai Ram." And the next thing I knew, we had driven right through that huge overturned tractor trailer truck. There's no way we could move on either side without going over the bridge. We drove directly through it. And she didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. We just sat there absolutely stunned. And finally, we came upon, eventually, we came upon a gas station. And we pulled in, and we were just sitting there, just kind of just, what just happened? And we had diesel fuel all over our van, and we could smell the diesel fuel. And that was the only sign that we had actually, in fact, gone through that solid object. And then Ashtar came through and said that he had made our molecules in a malleable state so they could, everything could just pass through that energy field as if it were, well, it was in another dimension. Now, that's called a molecular displacement, dimensional displacing of one density reality with that of a more refined one so they can coexist in the same place and co-penetrate and move through solid objects. You're going to see more and more of that. This is a function of what is called in the Keys of Enoch the epikinetic body, which is it's like a quantumly expanded version of your astral body. It has lots of goodies that enable you to walk through solid objects, levitate, bilocate. All these goodies come with the operation of the epikinetic body. You have five higher bodies that you will be using to operate in your expanded light fields. So you're not going to be left in this kind of dense enchilada that you're sitting in right now. You're going to have this added equipment that is going to meet you at the moment you need it. You're going to find it's at hand to move you through the fourth dimension and into the fifth and adapt you there perfectly. To continue with some of the things the elders are saying, this needn't be a scary time, but for many people, the Bible says that they will die from the fear of what they see coming upon the earth. Now, I hope that's not going to be any one of you. It certainly shouldn't be. But I found myself that there's a part of us called the basic self. It's like the body elemental that is part of your physical equipment of survival down here. And that part can be absolutely irrationally afraid for no reason and come up when you as a conscious self don't have any fear at all. And then there's this little five-year-old kid having a tantrum or a panic attack. It's like, what is that? Well, we're multidimensional beings, and there is a part of us that wants to survive at all costs. So that's why, and one of the reasons why, the command is planning to put everyone in a state of suspended sleep so that they don't have to deal with those levels, because they're going to come up. And, you know, to tell someone not to be afraid or even to process their fear or even to overcome their fear, it's totally impractical. How is that going to happen? I mean, you know, in the time that we have, it's just not a practical, feasible thing for anyone. Even the most advanced light worker has that level that's going to prevent, you know, when something as dramatic as a polar shift or whatever comes. So to continue here. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah speak very clearly and with a lot of information about the earth reeling to and fro like a drunkard, all the mountains and islands disappearing and stuff like that. From what you hear in the Bible from these great prophets that were given transmissions from Galactic Command to transmit to the earth people, these were all star-seeded beings, by the way. Most of it doesn't speak at all in a way that we could understand today scientifically in terms of a grid shift. Because if you just take it in a 3D understanding, you could only be afraid, because there's all of these dire things that are spoken about that are going to occur. Like, for example, in the Book of Revelation, you know, the History Channel is full of these apocalyptic scenarios now, and they're all interpreted in terms of the most basic physical interpretation without any warm fuzzies of understanding the multidimensionality of humanity, the extenuation of our life into an immortalized body of light, the shifting of the grids which cause that which has held you imprisoned in one picture of reality, that dissolves and disappears when you move into a higher grid. It completely ignores the interaction of multidimensional hierarchies and lords and ladies of light who minister to us. You know, you're not left forsaken. For heaven's sakes, know how much you are valued, how much you are loved, and that in truth you are an actual incarnation of the divine spirit yourself. You're not a puny little limited human being. The God of all that is lives in you as you. You are the holy habitation of one divine spirit that has decided to become the many for probably a very good field trip to explore the dimensions of separative states of consciousness. There is purpose in this. This is not just an accident and a mistake. There's purpose. So let's expand our understanding to embrace of the miraculous and the wondrous time that we're here. My gosh, what an exciting time to be on Earth. I'm certain that those of us that are here really, really had to elbow our way into a body to get a body in a front row seat to be part of this dimensional shift. Now, the Bible speaks also of 3 days of darkness. Most of today's prophets speak of it. Gordon Michael Scallion, Christian prophets, all kinds of prophets. Gordon Michael Scallion is a Christian prophet also. You know, most of the prophetic voices of the East and the West are speaking about these days of darkness. So, and the Keys of Enoch speaks about it too, the entering into the null zone, the entering into, you know, where it looks like the stars, the sky is rolled up like a scroll, like it describes in the Bible, and the stars fall to earth like figs being shaken from a tree, which is how it appears, apparently, when you enter the null zone. And apparently this is all part of the polar shift, where we have a new heavens, new stellar alignments, and the new Earth at the same time. So, according to some of the information that's coming from the elders, we can expect some of these following things to occur. Some of us are already experiencing these things. I know I have been, and others who've written to me. Just before the polar shift, supposedly about 5 hours, and again, this is not a exact script, but this is a possible scenario, you may experience dizziness and disorientation. And the fourth and fifth dimension start bleeding into this dimension. What does this mean? Well, it means that you start seeing strange colors and shapes that you're not used to seeing coming into your environment. I have watched the walls kind of wave in and out and buckle. I've seen things become transparent and go into black and white like a photographic negative. I've seen sparks and flashes and balls of color and auras around things and light around things and pictures, particularly of Sai Baba and Sananda, come right out of the picture frame, you know, to where the facial expressions shift and they, you look at a picture and then all of a sudden you're looking at the person. I mean, all sorts of visual anomalies are starting already to occur because, and I've also noticed that I feel sometimes like the earth under me is sloshing like I was on a boat. It doesn't feel solid and steady like it once felt. I've had lots of dizziness, lots of disorientation. In fact, I went through about 6 weeks where I had tremendous dizziness. I was starting to be a little concerned about it. And then it went away. After 6 weeks, it was gone. And I'm not really disoriented. I'm very sharp, actually. I don't feel disoriented at all. But come to think that there were a couple mornings that I woke up where I didn't know for a moment who I was, where I was, what my name was. It just for a second was very fleeting. But I had come so far from a dimension in inner space that coming back to this particular limitation field of this body-mind complex, I couldn't quite track it. And I've never had that experience before. So that's really new. I couldn't quite track the third density enchilada here. So after these colors and things start to morph into your environment, to where they're unlike anything you've seen before, about that time you need to find a place where you're comfortable, and, you know, that's going to be wherever it's going to be. You'll be led to where you need to be comfortable, you know. And the elders say at that point, find your safe place and go into your heart. That's your safe place. Go into your heart and pray. Now, you know, they've also said that, you know, just meditate or go to sleep. But most people have a hard time meditating even when they're peaceful and calm and going to sleep when they're, you know, peaceful and calm. With all this going on, you may find that very difficult. So that's why I've taught you to take a deep breath and right into your heart. Because that's going to be the easiest thing you can do because you have to breathe. So you're going to remember to breathe. And I just want you to stay centered in your heart. If you're centered in your heart, you don't have a thing to worry about because you're going to be just fine. And it'll be a lot easier for us to position you either through beam up. If you're calm and quiet, we can beam you up physically into the ship, no problem. But we won't put a tractor beam on you and beam you up if you're in any kind of emotional state of uncenteredness because the shock, the disparity of your aura and our being would be too much for you. So it's important that you stay centered and teach yourself to be centered. In fact, I think you should visit some of these potential scenarios in your mind, run it through your mind like you do an earthquake drill or a fire drill. Begin to mock up on your mind. What would it be like, you know, say that, you know, the earth starts to shift, you know, and you start seeing these colors and you're feeling dizzy and everything is looking visually very strange. You remember what I've told you on this show or what you've read and you realize, oh, we're going into the next dimension. Okay. Well, next thing, Astra is going to put me into a state of suspended animation. Okay. Well, let's just give me someplace quiet and lay my body down or sit my body down or go out into nature, wherever. And let the good times roll. Now, if you're in an airplane or someplace like that, of course, we're going to beam you out. Okay, just know that we know who you are. We know where you are. We know why you're there. And we're going to have no problem at all in taking you physically from where you are into a place of safety. So don't sweat the small stuff. There are certain things we do very well, and one of them is coming in at the beginning of the seeding program of a planet and coming in at the end to assure the harvest and the transpositioning of the life wave into the next birth of consciousness, the next college in the university of life, let's say. We're good at that. So another thing that they mention, which I find really interesting, is that all synthetic, plastic, and non-natural substances began to dissolve and disappear. That's why the Jews were told never to mix fabrics never to mix seeds. Don't hybridize anything, because apparently each one has a very specific grid, and they will go into that grid. And if they're all mixed up, like so much of our stuff today is all mixed up, alloys of everything. And that's going to be interesting. But anyway, we may be sitting in our birthday suit in a partially melted car in a house that's just a board here and a board there and a lot of melted whatever. It's going to be interesting if we're around when that happens. I doubt that we will be. I think we'll be in the suspended animation by that point. But just imagine how strange that would be to see things begin to disappear that are plastic. People in crowds will begin to behave crazily because as the electromagnetic field starts to go to zero point, they start to lose their reference point of reality as the grid begins to dissolve that has held their reality in place. So it's a good idea to avoid crowds if you feel like you're starting to go into that shift, which would be dizzy, disoriented, color starting to come in. Get off by yourself if you possibly can so that you can stay out of the crazies. Now, the electromagnetic field of Earth, when it goes to zero point, all the memories on the third dimensional grid are erased. Now, they just say all memories are erased. But, you know, that's nonsense. Memories aren't erased except those that are attached to the third dimensional picture of reality, which would be all polarized states of consciousness, all negativity, all fear, all hatred, all anger, all ugly, dense, heavy, fear-based, separative, ego-based emotions and thoughts will be erased. That's the good news. What's left? Who you really are, your divine knowing, your soul awareness, your loving, your wisdom, your star-seeded knowingness, all of that will be intact, so don't worry about that. But again, remember, you'll be in a state of suspended animation, so you probably won't go through the trauma of experiencing anything being erased. You'll just awaken in a new picture of reality. So not to worry. Now, having said that, I spent 2 weeks, I told you in some shows back, I spent 2 weeks aboard ship with Ashtar in 1994 when I was in Athens, Greece, and my physical body was quite ill. So I was beamed aboard ship and spent the time with Ashtar while my physical body was recuperating. And when I got aboard ship, I, of course, was in that zero electromagnetic field that they talk about when the shift occurs. And you know what? I had no memory whatsoever of ever having been on Earth. It was zilch, nada, nothing. I did not remember ever having been on Earth. I remembered everything about who I was and what I was and where I was aboard ship. And I simply put on my beautiful body that I have up there, and I went on about my normal life as a commander aboard ship with my twin flame, Ashtar. So that's what I'm thinking is probably going to be what we're all going to experience as we go through this polar shift, that we will just simply not remember the bad news and the bad experiences that we had in the third dimension, but we will have full knowledge of the loving and all the good things. We'll bring all of that with us. So all duality vanishes. We'll be moving into a unified field of complete oneness with God and oneness with each other and oneness with all life. So we'll have that original innocence, like a child, but not childish. We will still be who we are, but we'll have that innocence and awe and wonder that we had when we were very young. The Merkaba may preserve some memories, but again, when you're going through something so dramatic, who's going to sit down and do a Merkaba meditation? Either have that sucker activated around you or you don't, and I believe that you have it activated around you because, again, you're not left to do all this stuff alone. There's many, many of your spiritual upline, your brothers and sisters in other dimensions who've been working with you for all this time to prepare you for this moment. So you've got the equipment already in place. I'm certain you do. And all is well. Not to worry. The next thing that supposedly is happening is there will be flashing lights and vivid rainbow colors, and your objects around you will start to become transparent. They'll start to glow and be transparent. I've already had much of these experiences. And then it'll go into a golden, shimmering kind of overlay. It's very beautiful. And then they say it goes then into pitch blackness. And that's the void that may last, some say, possibly 6 hours is about the longest that they've guesstimated that might be. But again, you know, if you're in suspended animation, you could care less because you won't even be aware of it. So not to worry. So also they say that whatever a person thinks of when they go through the change in the fourth dimension instantly becomes your reality. So that's, again, one of the reasons why we're going to put people in suspended animation, because, of course, they're going to be, you know, afraid. You know, this is just human nature to go into fear. So I don't think you have to worry about that. But, you know, it always pays to watch your thoughts, because the more we move into the higher dimension, the more we become very, very instantly fruitful in our creations, which are our thoughts and our emotional outpicturings. And then supposedly a red fog surrounds us and is almost like who we are and what we are. Just everything becomes a red fog. And then that dissipates and we emerge into the new earth of this world, of this globe, the good place, the place where we have longed to be. Now, no mechanical or electromagnetic-driven technology will work, of course, because everything is electromagnetic down here. And so all of that will no longer work. But not to worry. We have solar, we have solar crystalline technologies that are so far superior of anything that's on Earth that you will never miss it. You will not even think of it or remember it, so not to worry. Now, our state of consciousness normally determines pretty much where we will be. However, due to the work of Jesus Christ to bridge us back into higher consciousness through grace, because they realized we really weren't going to get out of here without, you know, really supernatural help, we're going to be lifted divinely and supernaturally in a way we can't even imagine, but very beautifully and lovingly, from our pictures of reality, which have been earth-based and fear-based, into the higher consciousness. So again, you don't have to worry about that. Don't be afraid not to worry. So what will life really be like? Well, Sai Baba says that it's going to be a world of pure divine love and peace within about 40 years. And when he said that, the time was such that the 40 years would come to an end about 2017, 2018. So that's what we're looking at. About the same time as the Mayan elders have spoken of, somewhere between now and 2015, 2017, you know, we'll be in the new earth. But again, what does time matter? Because time is collapsing, time is being accordion pleated, time is being dissolved. We're beyond time now, according to the Mayan. So this whole time factor doesn't make much sense. We do know that we're in the sixth night and we're getting ready to emerge into the seventh day, which will be in November, I believe, this year. So that's it. That's the end of the nights for this cycle and the new day, the first day of the rest of our cosmic lives. So it's a good thing. It's not the end of the earth. It's its transformation into a new era. That's a good thing. So the heart, your sacred heart, is the key to all of this. To stay centered in your heart and live from your loving. Forgive everyone. Stay in that heart. Stay in that loving. Stay in that forgiveness. And you don't have a thing to worry about. Now, we were waiting and waiting for this wonderful book that the Mayans were supposedly writing and going to have published soon. And waited and waited, no book was forthcoming. Now I just heard that that they realized they didn't have enough time to write the book, you know, so they're not writing their book. And then when they found out that Hollywood wanted to make a movie about their information, they stopped giving any further communication and apparently have withdrawn into their sacred places to await these changes. And they hope that we will be able to awaken ourselves and get on with it, with the information they've been able to share, which they did, hoping that it would alleviate the fear. But again, information isn't going to alleviate fear. I think only God Almighty, through his supernatural intervention into our lives, is going to alleviate fear. Now, we have mentioned on many occasions that the world you see outwardly with your physical eyes is formed by interpretive factors within your brain and consciousness. Each person basically sees their own interpretations out pictured as their worldview. Now, this is called the false world. This is the ego's projected worldview. And the ego always sees a world of duality and separation, which naturally brings up fear. Whenever you see something separate from yourself, fear arises, which is false evidence appearing real. So fear immediately lets you know you're seeing something that is not there, basically. And the ego always sees the world filled with threats and dangers from which it needs to be protected. So that fight and flight mechanism is very much part of that human animal false self that we have here, atavistic self. Now, this worldview is not the real world. The ego's version of the world is one of fear, death, and destruction. So naturally, all of the worldview end-time scenarios that portray fear, death, and destruction are just coming out of the ego's mindset of what it speculates is going to happen. That's why, although I think it pays to really be aware of what's taking place, don't buy into it as the final answer of what's going to happen. Because the real world is love-based. And a love-based version of the world is what one sees through awakened, enlightened vision. So it is the God's eye view of Earth that we see through the awakened consciousness. And we're all in various stages of that awakening. So to the degree that you live in love consistently, to that degree have you awakened and are you living in the higher paradigm? Remember that Jesus taught in A Course in Miracles that a happy outcome to all things is assured, and that we go from the ego's nightmare into the happy dream of our return home to Source or God or the Ashtar Command, whatever you want to use as your home base. So that happy dream is it's still a dream where we're ascending or we're returning or we're being beamed back aboard ship. But you go from the nightmare to the happy dream. But ultimately, a happy outcome to all things is assured. We will awaken and find that in highest truth, we've never left home. We've never left the heart of God. We've never been separated. We've never, in truth, ever really been here at all, which is probably really good news. Now, those who are seeing through the spiritual consciousness or love, of love are filled, you know, with loving trust in divine protection, provision, and the outcome of everything. You know, when you have built a solid relationship with God inside you to where you just live absolutely and surrendered and yielded in trust to God, you know God's got it covered, God's going to take care of you, your children, your life, your future, everything is in the hands of God. That is the best place to be, to face these changes. And I encourage anyone and everyone who hasn't already done so to just give your whole life into God's hands. Place your whole future into God's hands. Place your children in God's hands. And live in trust. Trust, trust, trust will end every problem now. So such people will be able to go through whatever comes through in terms of the earth changes with unshakable confidence and faith in God, both within them as the Holy Spirit within them, and outwardly as an all-pervasive sense of the divine presence. You know, we've done shows where I said that be aware that the presence of God is right there where you are. is aware of what you're doing right now, what you think, what you feel, what you fear. That presence of God is always wherever you are. It's omnipresent God. Not up in the sky, not limited to being inside you, but is literally inside you, above you, below you, on either side, before and behind you. You live and move and have your being in God all the time, and God is love. So now is the time to practice walking by faith in your inner vision and not by your outer sight or physical evidence. You can't trust something that is not eternal. So since the world is temporal and transitory and changing every day by into something else, don't place your trust with that. Don't place your trust with shifting sand. Place it with a solid rock of Christ and stand on that, and you've got some solid footing under your ground, under your feet. So here are some suggestions for addressing certain fears that you may be experiencing, and you could regard these as thought replacements. Number one, no one dies. Death is a central illusion from which all other illusions radiate. No one dies. To the ego mind, it appears that people die and that loss is real. And this ego-based belief causes people to suffer such fear, grief, and suffering. So, okay, say some of you have had in your personal life the nightmare of losing a spouse or a child or somebody that you loved very much. Just know, beloveds, that when you awaken, they're going to be right there by your side. They're going to be healthy and whole and young and loving you just as they did before. You will never lose your loved ones. Never, never, never. Because love is eternal. Love never dies. And the people that God made, that you love, never die. Even though it seems like they die in the dream. Jesus said, even though a man seems to die, in me he has eternal life. So that's in that higher consciousness, that Christ consciousness, we have eternal life. So put aside this fear of dying and death and losing your pets and losing your loved ones and losing the things that are dear to you. Nothing that God has marked for you can ever die or be lost. Therefore, the replacement through the replacement thought is that no one dies. Life and love are eternal. And whatever and whomever appears to die will be found to be alive, well, eternally youthful, whole, and perpetually, perfectly safe in truth. So you will awaken from the nightmare of death. You will awaken, and your loved ones, yes, including your pets, will be there. Number two, you can never lose what God has marked and intended and purposed for you. Because remember, you're God's incarnation. There's no loss in God, so there certainly is no loss in truth for you. Now, this also applies to all of your cherished possessions. For example, you may appear in the nightmare to lose your home here in the ego's version of the earth through a flood, tornado, hurricane, volcanic eruption, earthquake, fire, whatever. But within the real world, God has many mansions, and yours has already been prepared by the Master Jesus, who went on ahead to turn back the sheets and to prepare, you know, the fatted calf and whatever, the fatted veggie loaf. It's already been prepared and awaits your return, your awakening, and your abode, your possessions, your true cherished objects are kept safe and await your full awakening. It's interesting, some people have reported out-of-body experiences where they were actually taken to heaven and shown their homes that were divinely prepared for them and waiting their arrival. And some of these people expressed surprise that the architecture and the furnishings and the design, the decor, were exactly to their personal preference. Well, hello, God loves you. Of course it's going to be exactly what you most love. You think God doesn't know you? You think God doesn't have your hairs on your head numbered? He knows you by name. He knows you better than you know yourself. So, also many people are saddened by the environmental destruction, both natural and man-caused. And the state of our earth, you know, the deforestation and the spraying and the Gulf and the oil spill and all of the raping and pillaging of the physical environment and the environmental violence that's being done right now on the earth has made many of our star-seeded people very sad, particularly the devas and those of you that actually had a hand in bringing the fauna and the flora to this earth to prepare it as a beautiful home for souls to inhabit. So comfort yourself, beloveds, knowing that the new earth, the true creation of God, remains in original Edenic perfection. The flowers, the trees, the animals, the whales, the birds, the dolphins, the bees, everything remains unaffected in God's eternal mansions. And that is the real world and the truth to which you will awaken. You will awaken. There is no way that you're going to miss this. So put that out of your mind. Now, number four, as you awaken from the ego's fear-projected nightmare, you will find yourself in your eternal home with God and with all your loved ones and your favorite cherished things. I remember when my granddaughter Krista was about five and a half years old. She was beamed up aboard ship, and she was describing, and I had never described to her what our ship looked like, so this was entirely her experience. She said she was sitting on her swing in the playground when she noticed that her shorts that she was wearing suddenly changed into like a uniform, and she had slacks on and a little space uniform. She was beamed up on the ship. She said she was met by Ashtar, and she was wandering around the ship and saw our apartment up there where we were going to be taken when we were beamed up. And she said, guess what, Mata? She said, your favorite books are there in the room, and even your E.T. doll. She was describing all the things that I particularly like, my crystals and different things, were there in my room. And she said, even your name's on the door. Now, I had never told her about any of this, so this was what she saw herself. And she also described that there was going to be a big party, a big celebration when we came back on the ship, and she was very excited about that. Ashtar told her about that. So imprint upon your mind that you are known and loved personally as an individual, unconditionally, by your Father, Mother, God. And it is God's great pleasure to give you his heavenly kingdom and all he possesses as your eternal divine inheritance. So these are things to remind yourself of. Sometimes in the New Age community, people tend to think of God as some sort of a force or an abstract universal principle, and they forget that God is that, but God is also a personal, very personal, loving relationship person in your life, a person who wants a relationship with you individually and as who you are, because God has multidimensional aspects, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to love you and have a personal relationship with you. And this is something that we need to also make room for in our lives, because it's very difficult to have any kind of a relationship with an abstract force or law, you know, an impersonal, universal mind or something of that nature, which God has that level too. But that's not the whole story of God. So the Course in Miracles states that trust would solve every problem now, and that there's really only one problem, and the problem is our perception of separation from the all goodness or God. And the one solution is to return your mind to your eternal oneness with all good or with God. So the perception of separation came with our getting identified with duality and polarity, and that includes having eyes that see to eyes that see differently, having a brain that's divided into two hemispheres that perceive very differently. So the unification of our vision through triangulation with the third eye is unifying our inner sight, and the holistic synchronization, that's the holosyncing of the two lobes of the brain, are taking place to where we have, again, a restoration to that divine unified mind, which is our God mind, our natural mind, not a divided, ego-driven mind. So when you are tempted to worry about the future, say out loud, I place my future in the hands of God, and I walk with the Lord in perfect trust. Try it again. I place my future in the hands of God, and I walk with the Lord in perfect trust. One more time. I place my future in the hands of God, and I walk with the Lord in perfect trust. So the new world you are entering is very different from the present world, and here are some of the things that you will not have upon the new earth. There will be no aging, no death, no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no diseases, and no physical or mental or emotional handicaps. Instead, you will be eternally young, healthy, immortal, and whole. You will experience pure love, joy, and peace. There will be no crime, no evil, no addictions, no cabal, no secret shadow government, no reptilians, no grays, no abductions, no cruelty, no hatred, no war, no jails, no prisons, no demons, no financial system, nor foreclosures, no repossessions, no homelessness, no need to work for a job and a salary, no politics, no legal system, no military, no police force. Instead, everyone will live in perfect love, peace, safety, security, and co-creative, ecstatic, joyous creation. So as you can readily see, without an inner divine transformation occurring to adapt us to this new earth, we would not be able to take the physical shock of it. So each and every person will be divinely prepared to enter the new dimensional earth. This is something that I really wanted to leave with you as a reassurance so that you can be very, very secure in knowing that we know where you are, who you are, where you live. We have exactly every knowledge of your habits and your goings and your comings. We will find you. We will take you wherever you are, very safely, very lovingly. Nothing will frighten you. We won't allow anything that would cause you pain, distress, or any kind of invasion into your privacy, or any kind of, we won't do anything to you that would not be sanctioned by the Lord Jesus and by the Father for your highest divine good. So that's a good thing, huh? Don't you think? So Jesus in A Course in Miracles tells us that only the loving thoughts and actions that we have given and received will go with us. And everything that's part of the third dimensional grid, when the electromagnetic field drops to zero point, all the 3D worldview of fear, duality, war, evil, crime, misery, all of that vanishes. And all 3D states are contained in that 3D grid. Which contains all those memories of all those negative and fear-based states of consciousness, all of that goes with it when it dissolves and we are transpositioned through the fourth, that's just the transitory phase, and secured in the fifth dimensional grid, which is the Christ consciousness grid of living love. Sai Baba said that this change will occur supernaturally by God's divine hand of intervention on December 21st, 2012 at 3 o'clock and 33 seconds. He gives an exact time for that. So let's just take that on board and believe it and be happy with it. So we will be restored to our true divine state within the galactic tree of life and peaceful oneness with divine source, one another, and all life. And we will simply carry on with the divine functions that we have always delighted ourselves in before, with that expansion of greater awareness which we will bring with us as our soul growth, our soul progression. And where we fell asleep and dreamt a dream of separation, that we were lost in a world of separation and limitation, just so we will awaken to find that we just had a dream, no more, no less. Adam fell asleep, and nowhere in the Bible does it say he awakened. So this is the time for our awakening. So let's see. You will be completely safe. Your children will be safe. Your pets will be safe. You do not have to worry about anything at all. Nada. Have faith. Have trust. Those of you that are worried about paying your rent and being foreclosed and having your car repossessed and all that stuff, trust God with the situation. God will turn it out to be good. He works all things together for good for those who are called, for those who love him. And I know you love him. I know you know that you are called. So trust that all things will be worked out for you. There will not be any money in this new system. That's very good. So we won't have to worry about such things as rent and stuff of that nature. And I am so grateful myself. And know that where your heart lies, there lies your treasure. Really, your heart is the most important thing to guard. That you have a true heart, a heart that lives in integrity, which means in integration with divine source, with divine truth. Live the integrity of your heart. That is the best thing you can do to prepare for whatever is going to be before us. Be a person of integrity. Be a person of heart. Be a person of loving compassion and forgiveness. And you don't have anything at all to worry about. Your vibrations will be at a very high level because the highest vibration here is love. So do whatever you can to cultivate a natural, spontaneous reaction to all things and all people with loving goodwill. And that's the best preparation. And remember a statement from A Course in Miracles. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So enjoy the Course in Miracles, too, is a very good thing for you to be reading at this time. The Disappearance of the Universe is another very good book that you can read. And again, if you're concerned about losing your memories of your life, you may have happy memories, too, that you would like to preserve. Everything is kept in holographic data banks where all the experiences that you've had in the historicity of different worlds and different world systems and different research, investigative journeys that you've made to this and other planets, all of that is kept stored in the Akashic. And you can retrieve it at any time and enjoy whole movie holograms of all your many escapades, all your many Leelas and all the many worlds. And plays of consciousness. And you know what? You're going to just laugh and laugh and laugh at your bizarre escapades and the pathos and the things that you went through on this and a myriad of worlds. So let's get ready to greet the new Earth and be very happy and enjoy each day and each experience and find a thousand ways to keep company with God, beauty, truth, and reality as you move from the ego's nightmare into the happy dream of returning home. and ultimately into awakening in the arms of the beloved. So let's awaken laughing and in great, great joy. You've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, and we say to one and all, Vasu Baragas Adonai, which means in brotherly love, we bid you greetings and farewell in the name of the Lord Adonai. Let's go out chanting, Hugh. Deep breath. You. Hugh is a perfect universal name for the Supreme God, and it instantly lifts your consciousness above the human ego mind. So it's a very, very good mantra to chant. And you can just keep it going all the time in your mind, in the background of your mind, and keep yourself very clear and in the higher vibrations. God evening, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week. Adonai.